This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters, isn't it? And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Happy Monday, everybody. Coming out of Wild Card Weekend, one more game tonight. Cardinals and Rams. We are all over it tomorrow morning, so be here for that, plus Trash Tuesday coming up in 20 minutes. Did the Bucks find their mojo yesterday against the Philadelphia Eagles, who look completely overmatched? Plus advanced analytics coming up later on in the show, and your epic fail. Your advanced analytics. Who had the most embarrassing exit over the weekend? Was it the Cowboys, the way that they lost yesterday, or the Patriots, the way that they got absolutely slammed on Saturday? And, you know, you look at the Patriots and the embarrassment that took place, and what you realize is the Patriots, of course, had Tom Brady, which is the great equalizer for anybody, but also a bunch of those gritty glue guys. Those guys that show up in playoff games and do one or two things really well and cement their legacy as playoff guys. Bostonians know them as dirt dogs. They love the Dustin Pedroia type guys. That heart, hustle, playing above what your talent would suggest. I don't know if the Patriots have those guys. They've got high-priced guys, brought in Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Matthew Judon, go down the list, Nelson Agholor. Agholor was invisible. Judon was completely ineffective the final month of the season. Henry was good. Jonnu Smith was bad. Do you have those guys? And if you don't have those guys, what is you? What is you at all? By the way, for today, happy MLK Day. Before we go any further, I just wanted to cite one of my favorite quotes from MLK. He was speaking to a group of junior high kids in Philadelphia in 1967. And he had a message that I think is really, really important. It's about being the best of who you can be. And basically, don't measure yourself against anybody else's great. Be your own great. And that is the essence of those guys I'm talking about, which every playoff team, Super Bowl team has. Those guys that play above what you would suggest their talent to be. And this goes for every walk of life, everybody. To me, this is the most important lesson you can teach young people, especially in the day and age of social media, where you're constantly comparing yourself to everybody else. Am I that handsome? Am I that pretty? Do I have that car? Do I have those clothes? Does my vacation look like that? Does my career look like that? Does my education look like that? Does my family look like that? Does my house look like that? Do I get that score in a video game? Am I invited to that party? Is my hair... All of these things that kids get beaten down over because they feel insecure. MLK said, be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or fail. Just be the best of whatever you are. And if we can remember that, everybody could feel fulfilled. Everybody could feel like they've reached their potential. Because they're not comparing themselves to all these other things that are being done, but just to what their potential is. It doesn't matter if you're a delivery guy or you're in a job that you feel is a dead-end job. Be the best at that. Because I'm going to tell you this, you matter. I know, man, the best Amazon delivery guy I've ever had, I know his name. And I know that we've had conversations, and I tell him, I just appreciate your work because you care, and I get this package on time, here, delivered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, safe, in one piece. You love those people. You know, the school nurse. I remember the best school nurse I ever had. She was such a doll, and she cared. She cared about all of us. I know the best cashier at the grocery store that I go to. I know when that cashier is there, smile, how you doing, need help bagging, goes through swiftly, got to ring this up with a coupon, somebody in front of me, I know. I know this. If you're the best at what you do, there's a gas station I go to in Jersey, they pump your gas for you. They don't allow you to pump your own gas. So I know if I'm in a rush one way or the other way coming into work, I know that gas station I'm going to, hopefully that guy is working. Because that guy, I know, boom, he's on it, in, out, hoses in, hoses out. Hi, how you doing? Yep, credit card, got it. Boom, 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 boom. Whatever it is that you decide to do, be the best at that and don't compare yourself to anybody else. And you will change the world. I think that that speech from MLK to that junior high school in 67 is just so powerful. It is just so significant and so powerful. Last night, the Chiefs, as expected, blow right by the Pittsburgh Steelers, 42-21. Late touchdown by Big Ben made it look a little bit better. It was 42-14 until then. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39, 404, 5 touchdowns. And 7 of those Steelers points came on the TJ Watt fumble recovery and touchdown. So if you erase the Watt scoop and score and the garbage time touchdown by the Steelers, it could have been 42-7. Here's how it sounded at Arrowhead last night.
Steelers show a 4-man defensive front. Trying to build a wall. Now they're going to throw it long. The Chiefs want Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown! Kansas City! And Mahomes is on fire. 5 consecutive touchdown drives.
It was an honor to coach against Ben in his last game. I'm happy for him. He's been a 2-time champion, future Hall of Famer, done a great job in this league, representing this league. So, and I know he'll do the same when he's done here, whatever direction he goes.
Chiefs radio on the call. Andy Reid after the win. Patrick Mahomes, by virtue of that day, is your Home Depot doing more. Right now at the Home Depot, enjoy savings at top-rated appliances online, in stores, or at the Home Depot app. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, ends January 26th, 2022. 5 touchdowns, 404, and the Chiefs went on a run with 5 unanswered touchdowns, sealing the game up early. Now we'll take on the Bills next weekend. We knew the Steelers wouldn't be much of a resistance, unfortunately. Both Mraz and I took the Steelers on the points, thinking that they could keep it within two touchdowns. They could not. The way that the Bills beat the Patriots on Saturday, and seeing the Chiefs do that, a complete and utter decimation of the Steelers, makes me feel like Bills and Chiefs is the real AFC Championship game. No disrespect to the Titans meant, no disrespect to the Cincinnati Bengals either, but we waited for the Chiefs all season to put it all together, because so infrequently did we see that this year. The Chiefs' defense was ghastly the first month of the season. And then Spagnuolo figured things out. They got Melvin Ingram from the Steelers. They were able to shift guys around to their more natural positions on the defensive line. Pass rush came alive. Young secondary players also stepped up and grew. And the Chiefs' defense carried them throughout the season. In reality, the Chiefs' offense was never great. Not by their standards. It was never great. Yesterday, it was. It was one of those days where you look up and go, my God, Mahomes has 400 yards and 5 touchdowns? When did that happen? If the Chiefs' defense plays its best like we've seen this year, and the Chiefs' offense looks like that, they're the best team in the AFC. They are better than the Titans. And what the Bills did on Saturday night was a true eye-opener. That was, we're here, we're in our prime, and we're ready to win big, and we don't care who's in our way. The Patriots, we scoff at the Patriots. 1 degree weather, who cares? We're out here balling, and we're going to beat you up. And what Josh Allen did on Saturday was merely one of the great quarterback performances ever in NFL playoff history. They never punted. They never settled for a field goal. They never turned the football over. He just kept throwing. He had more touchdowns thrown than incompletions. He had more touchdowns than balls that hit the ground. The Bills are ready, and the Bills this year did not play like they were ready for a long stretch. And who knows? Maybe they go into Arrowhead next weekend and lay an egg again, because we saw them struggle down the stretch as well, unless it was the Pats. But if the Bills play their best football game and the Chiefs play their best football game, that's the two best teams of the AFC, better than the Titans. And the Bengals, again, I've got nothing but great things to say about Joe Burrow, the Bengals finding a way to get that victory on Saturday and building something that fans can finally be proud of and thrilled for in Cincinnati. But they're not at the level of the Bills or the Chiefs. They're not at that level. Their best is not that best. They're not that elite. Now, the Bengals can make life hard on you because they've got a good defense, they've got a good pass rush, and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Mixon also needs to be able to run the football better than he did on Saturday. But Chase and Burrow are so dangerous, they can beat anybody just in their two-man game. But overall, the Bengals' best isn't the Bills' best, isn't the Chiefs' best. You gotta have it. It's got to show up. But if it shows up, the Bills and the Chiefs are the two best teams in the AFC. And I'm not sleeping on the Titans, because the Titans can make a Super Bowl. Because the Titans are gritty, the Titans are coached well, and the Titans have Derrick Henry coming back. You know, that's a good recipe for winning football games, plus they've got home field advantage. But at their very best, the Chiefs and the Bills can beat the Titans at the Titans' best, which is why I think Bills and Chiefs is the de facto AFC Championship game. That assumes that you get one of their best efforts in the AFC Championship game. And we've seen both of them take some long winter naps this year. But the Chiefs proved last night, when they're cooking, still nobody can touch them. and their defense is better than it ever was during the course of this three-year, four-year run. And the Bills on Saturday proved they've got a real weapon. That Josh Allen is a weapon to be unleashed on people. Running the football, throwing the football. His wide receivers were great on Saturday. Also, the run game worked. Singletary was very good. Brian Daboll coached fits, circles around Belichick's defense. They didn't know what was hitting them. I hope we get that level of execution for both of those teams, because that means that this weekend will be special at Arrowhead. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Mac and Bear tweets, good morning, guys. DA, you're crazy. LOL, my evil laugh. That was a total passing of the torch in the AFC East. Back-to-back AFC championships, AFC East championships for the Bills, and then a thorough beatdown to the Pats as well. When we come back on the show, the Buccaneers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look like they found their mojo. What did they discover yesterday in a beatdown of the Eagles? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Here's the play, dropping to throw. Brady looks toward the end zone, throws. Caught ball, Evans. He's got a Tampa Bay touchdown. Does a somersault, and the Bucs put the dagger in the heart of the Eagles.
You know, just trying to figure out a way to move the ball down the field and score some points. I thought we did a good job in a couple of those areas. We ran the ball really well. Line played great. Receivers played great. Tight ends played great. So used a lot of different people, and everyone got in there, made some plays to help the team win.
Tom Brady and the Buccaneers move on after an easy whipping of the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. That was Gene Deckerhoff on Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio. Fire the cannons. We win. Remember, the DA show is available in podcast form. Miss anything or want to hear it again? Check us out. Full 4 hours of the best of the show always available if you search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform. Buccaneers 31, Eagles 15. Wasn't that close. You could tell when it was 14-0. This game was over early. The Eagles just didn't have the juice to be able to hang with the Buccaneers. And from an early spot, 14-0, then 17-0 at the half, and then they widened it to 31-0 before two garbage time fourth quarter touchdowns by the Eagles. It was an absolute demolition. And I give the Eagles credit in this way. Nick Sirianni early this season and in the offseason seemed to be a court jester. He was better suited for a Monty Python of the Holy Grail viewing than he was on the sidelines of an NFL job. I mean, he just didn't sound the part, didn't look the part. He was wearing a beat Dallas t-shirt Cowboys week. He was talking about growing the roots, feeding the plants. He was playing tic-tac-toe and win, lose, or draw to decide whether to draft guys or not. I mean, the whole thing just felt like he's not ready for this. But he steered the Eagles to a path where they did what they were best at, running the football. And, hey, if you know what you're good at and you decide to commit to it, great. And they made the playoffs. Certainly a year or two earlier than we would have thought in their evolution. We'll see if Sirianni's still there 2 years from now. But nothing was thought of the Eagles coming into this season. Everything was thought of for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I thought that yesterday, a couple of things were apparent. Number one, people geeked out over more football, more football. Super wild card weekend. Well, more football, expanded playoffs meant that we got six games wild card weekend because the two seeds no longer have a bye, which means now expanding the playoffs to an extra wild card and the two seed playing wild card weekend meant we've got 2-7 matchups. And if you were wondering what the 2-7 matchups this offseason, or this postseason rather, were, it was Bucks-Eagles, 31-0 at one point, Chiefs-Steelers, 42-14 at one point, and the Chiefs rattling off five consecutive touchdown drives. They weren't competitive. Those were the two worst games of the weekend. They weren't competitive. And the same way the NFL went to the 17th game for more football, and the same way they expanded the playoffs for more playoff football, was about more, not quality. Quantity, not quality. The NFL created more worse football. Adding the 17th game and adding the extra playoff teams gave us an 18th week of football. The football wasn't better. It was just more. And then a 7th seed of the playoffs playing a 2 seed that are getting roundhoused. Remember last year happened as well to the Bears playing the New Orleans Saints of the 2-7 matchup. Those matchups are rarely, if ever, going to give us good football. It's just more football. On to the Buccaneers. I think you could take away some things from this, not a lot. Again, when you play the 7 seed, I think that from a Buccaneer standpoint, they did what they needed to do. Tom Brady was coolly efficient despite not having his full complement of weapons. But what you saw was even if they didn't have Godwin and Antonio Brown, they still have enough to move that football. Mike Evans, 9 for 117. Giovanni Bernard was a big piece out of the backfield. Gronk had 5 catches for 31 yards and the touchdown. He went to Cameron Brate 3 times. He hit Scotty Miller, O.J. Howard, Rashad Perriman for a catch each. There's still enough there to get to a Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But yesterday was just really toying with an inferior team. I mean, the flip into the end zone, just toying Mike Evans with this squad, with the Eagles. The Eagles didn't belong in the same field as the Buccaneers. The Bucs will be able to roll the Cardinals if the Cardinals win tonight. I don't know about the Rams. The Rams have a defense that can give the Buccaneers fits. The Rams have a defense that I think can match up well and did early in the season, remember, when they beat the Bucs 34-24. I think if you're the Bucs and Tom Brady, you're rooting for the Cardinals tonight because then you'll find yourself in an NFC championship game. If the Rams win, that's going to be a hell of a game next weekend in Tampa Bay. Merez, what was your takeaway from the Buccaneers steamrolling the Eagles yesterday?
Just again, I'm so happy that, A, I played the Bucs and up the gut, but I'm not going to do what I did last year and discount Tom Brady and discount the Bucs and tell you how they're too old and they have too many injuries. All year long, we talked about the NFC teams and who was elite and who had weaknesses and can this team beat that team. I think the Eagles absolutely stink. I think they were a waste of a playoff spot. But I cannot not look at the Bucks and think, I believe this team's going to the Super Bowl again, because that's what it feels like to me after watching yesterday.
So you think it's inevitable that they're going to march their way to the Super Bowl?
Not going
to
catch me on a hater thing afterwards from the season from Tom Brady. I think the Bucks right now, to me, I don't care that the games are going to be played in Lambeau if the Packers roll, have to be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Have to be. I do believe that.
Really?
Now, the injuries do worry me a little bit in the offensive line, but I mean, they didn't do anything yesterday. As, by the way, Vegas lines kept dropping and making you think, ooh, maybe the Eagles are up to something. The Bucs just looked like they got to the playoffs. They found their way through a season, won more than enough games, and they could flip the switch. There's Mike Evans wide open. When you need Gronk, they're bringing a guy named Vaughn off the bench to run. Whoever you put around Tom Brady, I am not going to bet against the Bucs to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
I still think it's the Packers as the team to beat in the NFC, and I think the Packers will get them this year if there's a rematch in the NFC Championship game. I think the Packers win that football game. But just like we saw the Chiefs click their mojo back in last night, you wonder if today's great NFL teams, the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, wind their way through a regular season, know there's going to be some ups and downs, know they're going to stub their toe every so often, can't quite get all the way up because they know the playoffs is where they'll truly need to have it all put together, and kind of navigate their way through a regular season. Maybe don't always put their best foot forward, but the moment that the playoffs begin, flip that switch. Because is it coincidence that the two teams in the Super Bowl last year kind of meandered their way at times through a regular season, and then yesterday absolutely blew the doors off of their opponents? Again, it was a pair of 2-7s, so that's a huge skew in your playoff matchup. But Mraz, I think there's a common thread there. The Chiefs and the Bucks played a long postseason last year amidst all the COVID restrictions and protocols. The Chiefs have now gone to multiple Super Bowls in a row. The Buccaneers are older. They just kind of swam their way through a regular season. And then when it matters, flip the switch, all systems go, and now it's time to really do our best work.
Yeah, and other teams that haven't been to the mountaintop and win Super Bowls approach those games versus the Steelers and Eagles yesterday and maybe don't take their opponent as seriously and then catch themselves in a little bit of a trap throughout the game. That wasn't the case. These games were never in doubt. Sure, Watt obviously had the big play early in last night, but it didn't matter. And I'm sorry, I look at the Bucs, and maybe it's a helpless, hopeless feeling when I watch Tom Brady play quarterback, but why? Like, what makes me think that this year would be any different? Why would I think that's going to be any different when the last decade at least has told me it's not going to be different? Brady's rolling in the playoffs again. Who are they playing in the Super Bowl? That's the way I feel.
I do want you, though, to remember that if every time Tom Brady wins a football game, now that the Patriots have been embarrassed, it is another stick it to Bill Belichick and the Pats, which is incredibly delightful. Now that the Patriots have been humiliated and are watching at home, every time Brady has a great playoff moment and advances, it's another shiv right into their solar plexus.
No, there's no doubt, and that's the only positive about it. But why can't Bill Belichick get embarrassed and then next week Cooper Kupp score 4 touchdowns on the Bucs and they get embarrassed? Like, why does the trade-off have to be, here we go with another boat parade? I mean, what are they going to do with the Lombardi this time? Try to throw it down to Puerto Rico? I mean, what are we going to do? It's going to just sail into the bottom of the water? It's enough. He didn't appreciate the trophy last year. It's a joke. It's nauseating. I'm tired of it. They're New England South. All the retirees go to Fort Myers. They go to Tampa. And it's just the Patriots regurgitated in a different form.
It's only two guys. It's Brady and Gronk.
I guess. I mean, Antonio Brown was a half a guy, and now he's gone. But he didn't really count. I understand that. But it doesn't matter. It's just those are two faces of those guys. It represents everything that was evil with the Pats, too. It just does. Gronk scores again. The guy was wrestling on a mat 3 years ago.
I just texted you a picture that they put on the broadcast. I want to talk to you about this after AB's update. It was the picture of how we started and where we are now.
Okay, I see it.
Okay, and it was Brady as a rookie and Brady today. And it was so jarring, I want to describe this and discuss this. But First AB, a kind sir, has our headlines. What's up, Bogues?
Guys, the Chiefs so good on offense last night that Patrick Mahomes threw a touchdown to a lineman and Travis Kelce impersonated Mahomes.
The Chiefs go to a direct snap formation to Kelce. He takes it. He fakes a handoff. He wants to throw a pass. He's got a touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce finally gets that coveted touchdown pass he's waited for since 2014.
2014? The year of guacamole? Mitch Holtis,
that's right.
Chiefs radio. Kelce played QB in front of his mom, Donna, who saw her other son, Jason, lose with the Eagles in Tampa, 31-15 in the
she
afternoon.
Made both
then
games.
That got to Arrowhead in the first quarter for this 42-21 beating of the Steelers.
I knew she was going to try and make both of them. But, you know, just seeing her as happy she is right now makes everything awesome, man. It makes playing this game and having big dreams all worth it, man.
Mrs. Kelce was even part of the post-game press conference with her son. KC found the end zone six consecutive times after the Steelers took a 7-0 lead on TJ Watt's fumble return touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger's final game included two late touchdown passes. The Cowboys still defending Dak Prescott's scramble with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. He could not spike the ball and make one more throw, so Dallas done 23-17 to the Niners. Deebo Samuel and friends now face the Packers Saturday night.
I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup. You know what I'm saying? We got to have a good week of preparation, just get ready and just, you know what I'm saying, have everybody on their P's and Q's and just go out there and play our ball.
So I've never heard Deebo's voice before, and I'm a little disappointed. If you're going to be as badass as he is with a name like Deebo, there better be a lot of bass in that voice. You better sound like a Bond villain, and he sounds like me.
He's a total nice, pleasant guy. He's great. He's great with the media. He's great with his teammates. I know he's named after Deebo in Friday, who was just like a huge ogre, and he's nothing
right.
like
He should sound like him.
He's amazing, isn't he? He's brilliant at football. He's great how they use him both passing and run of the football. He's nice. He's soft-spoken. He's smart, and he's named Deebo. What's there not to like about this guy?
That's the perfect football player.
That's right.
He had 110 scrimmage yards, a rushing score yesterday. Finally, it's the Rams and Cardinals tonight from L.A. The winner plays in Tampa on Sunday. The Chiefs and Bills follow that one. Bengals-Titans is Saturday's first game. Patriots assistant Gerard Mayo will interview with the Broncos this week. The Bears today interviewing Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus and assistant GM Ed Dodds. And Minnesota meets with Eagles VP of football ops Catherine Reich. She's the first woman ever to interview for a GM job. The Nets reportedly expect Kevin Durant to miss 4 to 6 weeks after spraining his MCL on Saturday. On the court last night, Utah winning in Denver 125-102 to snap a four-game skid, 31 points for Donovan Mitchell, and the Warriors lost in Minnesota 119-99 without Steph Curry and Draymond Green. The Australian Open began today without Novak Djokovic, and now France's sports minister says there'll be no exceptions to the country's vaccine requirements when we get to the French Open in the spring. Rafael Nadal and Naomi Osaka winning down under today. Coco Gauff did not. DA, back to you.
I think I may play this audio for you tomorrow. Deebo Samuel did an interview with one of the young broadcasters of the Nickelodeon broadcast yesterday. I don't want to say sideline guy because young Dylan wasn't the sideline guy for this game. But whoever young Dylan was on this broadcast, I did not watch the Nickelodeon broadcast yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
He was so charming. Deebo was great. Young Dylan was excellent as well. And I'm like, you know what? Young Dylan could probably hold down one of these sideline jobs. He was very, very good. But Deebo, he was just charming. He was happy. I mean, just another reason to love Deebo Samuel. Merez, did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast?
I went back and forth because I wanted to keep seeing what was going on with who was getting slimed and who was not. And they had some great graphics on Mike McCarthy that have gone viral, too. But to me, my biggest takeaway from Nickelodeon isn't what happened during the game. It's, again, second straight year the MVP was the losing quarterback.
Yeah, I know. Last year, Mitch Trubisky won the MVP in an uninspired effort against the Saints. And then yesterday, Dak Prescott won the MVP.
Dak ticked off at the refs getting handed a Nick Kid's Choice Award. It's perfect.
Your offseason will be fine, Dak. Just forget about being eliminated in the first round. You won the Nickelodeon Valuable Player Trophy with a blimp on it.
And what a lesson to teach kids. It's okay to throw bottles on the field, everybody, as long as you peg the refs.
Okay, so during the Buccaneers and Eagles game, they ran this graphic, how it started or how it began and where we are now. What do they do on Instagram?
I forgot the word it's called.
What is this thing?
How it started, how it's going.
How it started, how it's going, right? So it's a picture of you way back when and now, you know, how it's going, et cetera. So they put a picture of Tom Brady up there in 2000. I could only imagine this is when he was actually drafted because I don't ever remember him having facial hair, but he had this kind of like dark 5 o'clock shadow. He has these big bushy eyebrows. He's got this kind of caveman look to him. And then they said how it's going, and it's a picture of gleaming, tan, beautiful Tom Brady, whose cheekbones have been lifted and all the creases pressed out of his forehead, and his hair is kind of spiky and beautiful, and his jawline is more pronounced. And
nose job, too, I think.
Probably a nose job. And I saw this and I thought to myself, number one, wow, Tom Brady wasn't always a handsome guy. In fact, he was very unhandsome early on. Number two, if you ever doubt his commitment to a cause, this is it. Like, Tom Brady doesn't only commit himself to being a great football player, committed himself to being handsome. Whatever it cost, whatever work needed to be done, he was willing to do it. He did everything. He reconstructed his face. I mean, look at this, Mraz.
Yeah.
You can argue, and I wouldn't say this because, look, I'm no, you know, Matthew McConaughey or George Clooney, but you could say he was ugly. At one point in his life,
no.
He was ugly, and now he's really handsome.
See, I don't think he was ugly, and this is what annoys me. I think that more females would be attracted to original Tom Brady in this day and age. I think what Brady's done to himself is actually out. I think you want the rough and scruffy guy. I really do. I believe females now, maybe that's not the case 20 years ago, would be more attracted to old Tom Brady. I think he sold out. No. I think he sold out. And I think my guess is Giselle being a model and having all the money they have, she forced him for the cheek lifts. I don't think Tom Brady wants that.
No, I disagree, because Brady started undergoing his physical revolution or evolution early in his career before he met Giselle. Who was he married to or had the kid with before then? There was the actress. He's got a kid with her. Anyway, he was
Michelle Monaghan.
Bridget Moynihan.
Bridget Moynihan. Michelle Monaghan.
Who's that?
The hell is that?
That was close. Monaghan, Moynihan. The Michelle part I can't explain. I feel like she's somebody.
You know, Brady's old flame, Michelle Monaghan. Well,
was that the one from The Town?
He was fishing for actresses early. He did that whole hair thing, remember, when he was in Ted 1. Then he was hanging out with Matt Damon, and he also had the crazy long hair that one time. I think that was 07. He's been doing a lot of stuff even before he got to Giselle. And then he got to Giselle and I think went more traditional handsome, but he's always been doing this type of thing. He has been very consumed by public perception for a very long time. And I don't know if you saw this graphic, Bogues, but early on, he was a grunt. And now, he's a freaking Hollywood supermodel type guy. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's the picture from the combine where he looks like one of us is still one of my favorite pictures of all time.
And
I don't know how. Right. I don't know how we got from there to today. And I would have thought, too, my first thought about this with this graphic was you have to, for like journalistic reasons, put in where Giselle got involved. Because I thought that was the turning point, but apparently it was not.
I think it was earlier than that. Now, I don't know if he started getting facial reconstruction that much later. But look, I don't think this is a stretch to say Tom Brady had his cheeks lifted, cheekbones lifted. He had his jawline chiseled. He had Botox, perhaps some type of softening of his nose, and did something with his teeth, veneers maybe, or some collagen in his lips, and dyes his hair. He's got no gray. Did you see this yesterday? Jimmy Garoppolo has gray around his temples. Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted to replace old Tom Brady. Garoppolo's great, but Brady's not?
Yeah, I mean, that's living a lie.
Tom Brady is 44 years old. Garoppolo's 30. Garoppolo has graying temples. Tom Brady doesn't. Brady is committed to every part of this, every part of the cause to look young. I mean, in some weird way, it's a little Kardashian-ish. I mean, it's not that dramatic. He doesn't look like an alien. He looks quite handsome, let me tell you. But he has undergone an unbelievable facial evolution.
He has. And it just shows you, if I was the quarterback of the Patriots all those years, I wouldn't need a fat journal. I could buy myself at the cheekbones and being thin. And by the way, to defend Bogus, there is a Michelle Monaghan actress.
Yes.
There is.
And I'm not the only person that confuses her and Bridget Moynihan with Tom Brady. So apparently it's a bad brain malfunction for many people.
I thought you were making up somebody. Like, I just make up names.
No.
I thought Michelle Monaghan was just a brain fart.
No, real
actress.
Person, I think, dated Tom Cruise, and a lot of people think she had Tom Brady's first kid, but she did not.
And I'd argue Michelle Monaghan way better career than Bridget Moynihan.
Hmm. Well, what's Michelle Monaghan been in?
I mean, a star of True Detective. Maybe she's just better because I've seen more of the stuff she's in.
Well, give me more than that.
Patriots Day, she was a star in.
Okay.
Pixels.
But Bridget Moynihan's in Blue Bloods.
Justice League.
Oh, Bridget Moynihan, Blue Bloods.
You watch Blue Bloods with my mom? Is that what you do on Friday nights?
Tom Selleck's in that.
It's a good show.
DA knows a current show? Wait, well, Tom Selleck's in it, so I guess he does.
Yeah, Selleck's in it. I know Selleck when I haven't watched an episode.
Selleck's in it.
But I know
Which Wahlberg's in that one, too?
The guy with the burger franchise.
Donnie.
Oh, no, not the kid Mark. From No Kid, New Kids?
Oh, Mark Wahlberg is not in Blue Bloods. It's
Donnie
Wahlberg.
Donnie.
Yeah, and Donnie's from New Kids.
Yes.
Okay, so it's New Kids and Selleck. How do you not love
and Selleck?
And Sharippa.
And Bridget Moynihan.
Is Selleck your Hanks, D.A.? Did we just figure that out?
I love Selleck, but I can't claim the passion and the adoration that Pete does of Hanks because I haven't seen a Selleck vehicle since Mr. Baseball, so I can't really claim the same.
That's why you watch. Oh, Mr. Baseball guy's in the show. I'm in.
My Selleck reign was Magnum P.I., Mr. Baseball. Haven't seen anything with him since. Oh, maybe an episode or two of Friends when he was the boyfriend.
Okay.
When we come back on the show, advanced analytics on the collapses this weekend of the Cowboys and Patriots. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz attended the wedding over the weekend where there were tons of Bills fans drawn away from the wedding to watch the Buffalo Bills.
We're celebrating the wedding. We're celebrating the Bills winning. People are dancing, having a good time. The Raider fans are still angry on their side of the tables. It was crazy. But, yeah, nobody even enjoyed a meal next to their wives or loved ones because they couldn't stand. They were embarrassed by us.
Go stuff yourselves.
But they knew there was no holding back because we had strength in numbers.
Can I have a roll, please?
Did Buffalo Mark end up having an okay night despite not being able to go to this game even though he had tickets?
Great night. Great night. Now, good. I'd be lying if I told you he wasn't also firing off a lot of same-game parlays, but he was having a great night.
Going into that weekend, I was angry. I was angry for those people that had to be ripped out of their season tickets to go check out a shotgun wedding, although I probably should have stopped calling it a shotgun wedding so often. Apparently, what, your mother-in-law was unhappy with?
Well, no, my aunt-in-law, I guess. I mean, that was a shotgun wedding. Even though bride was like, shotgun wedding? I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, there's no literal shotguns.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, I don't know what the term would be.
The shotgun wedding was because they got pregnant and had to have a quick... But that was public, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess their belief was, well, it didn't have to be quick. We chose for it to be quick. But, yeah, so that was...
they weren't going to get married unless they got pregnant.
In other words, you have you as you want. You want them to bring pistols to the game?
Well, do I say they should bring pistols?
That's
the definition of a shotgun wedding.
Yeah, I get... Look, I'm certainly not killing you for it. That was the only thing I got lipped for this weekend was that term was used over and over again. That's where I guess they drew the line. Watch as much football and bet on it as much as you want at the wedding. Just don't tell me I'm at a shotgun wedding.
Well, what does it have to do with now?
Look, was it a football move? You have to make 2 feet down... Football possession, by definition, it's a shotgun wedding. Definition, that's not a football move.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Who had the more embarrassing wild card weekend? We asked you guys, and 56% of you said it's the Cowboys over the Patriots. At least the Patriots and Cowboys didn't make any bold proclamations at the coin toss. Remember in 03, Seahawks-Packers wild card game, Matt Hasselbeck guarantees a score after Seattle won the overtime coin flip. Little did he know he would throw the pick six to Al Harris. Whoops. And CBS Sports Radio host Zach Gelb, analytics tells us, was in Buffalo to witness the Bills rise to prominence over the lackluster Patriots. The host of the Matt Rhule Coaches Show consumed copious amounts of Buffalo wings during that trip. Zach Gelb, actually a diehard Patriots fan, so went up, made the drive up to Buffalo, and watched the Patriots get their butts handed to them. That's a tough drive. That's a tough seven-hour drive back, six-hour drive back to the city after that one. Woo! So good show from today. Break it down everything from the NFL weekend. Tonight is Rams and Cardinals, so tomorrow morning, first in the morning reaction to the final wild card game of the weekend and a Trash Tuesday. So be here. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headline. So thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.